The halls of the Rain Studios are dark due to the mass exodus to the Dayton Hamvention. But we'll be entertained by Mitch again in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the empty studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this Rain Report. So you think you know everything about good operating techniques on ham radio? Maybe not. Here's our second excerpt from a 2011 Hamvention presentation about good operating techniques, voiced by Mitch Stern, W1SJ, a public service veteran and avid DXer from Vermont.
Try as you may, you cannot laugh on CW. It just doesn't work. So we have a special abbreviation to simulate laughter on CW. It's called HI-did-did-did-did-did. And you repeat that a few times, and that is the buzzword for laughter on CW. Doing that on phone is just downright stupid. If you want to laugh, just laugh. Don't say hi-hi. They'll think you're in Japan and you're saying yes-yes. And then some people say H-I-H-I. We have one guy who does it all the time. He actually changed his call sign to W1HIO. And this is after he took my class and I told him, don't say HI on phone. It's silly. And he makes a whole big mockery of the whole thing. But really, I don't care. I still sleep at night. But he kind of like makes himself look silly doing it. Do we want the world to think of us as people knowledgeable in the art of communication? Do we want people to think that we're a bunch of weirdos? That's really what it comes down to. No, this is W8XXX on the side. We know that. The fries are on the side. Just say standing by if you're not going to talk for a while. All right, so the terminology is 73 in the singular. 73 means best regards. That's what it means. You look it up in the big ARL dictionary, whatever, that's what it says. So if you say 73s, it means best regards, I guess. Or best 73 means best regards. And then, thankfully, I don't hear this one anymore, 73rds. That was big during the CB crisis. You know what 73rds is, don't you? It's 23 and a third. Plug it into the calculator, you'll find that out. Hi. This next one is called, what part of no don't you understand? If the answer to the question is no, just say no. It's beautiful. It's two letters, one syllable. No. You don't have to say negative. I mean, yeah, unless you want to play, you know, Joe Commando and sound like a military guy. Negative. Just say no. And the other military thing is people giving the time in military time. You don't have to do that. You can just say the time. It's usually understood if you say 3 o'clock, probably you're not talking about 3 in the morning. Unless it's me, I'm a night owl. I'm up all night. But, you know, well, it's 1,300 hours. Don't do that. Just say 1 o'clock. This one doesn't exist anymore. Reach me on the landline or the twisted pair. Will anyone have twisted pair going to their homes? I think I'm one of the few. Everyone has cell phones now. All those cell phones are going to die one day, and you're going to have to get back on ham radio to talk to anyone. You know that. Here's another one that disappeared with the CB craze. At least I hope it has. The first personal here is. It's called a name. Again, a nice one-syllable word. We change it to a lot of syllables there just so we can emulate Smokey and the CBers. I am destinated. You heard that one? I haven't heard that one a while either. I've arrived. I'm here. Goodbye. And then, we did this and we did that. We did. Now, sometimes we is appropriate. Your wife is with you or significant other in their ham, and they always do things with you and whatever. And so, yes, the correct term is we. But I know guys that had never been married, will probably never be with a woman or another person in their life, and they always say we. And I said, who's we? You got a mouse in your pocket? Who are we talking about here? It's I. It's not impolite in our culture to say I, so you just do that. All right, so how many are guilty of any of these? Oh, you lying sacks. I don't see any hands going up. I know. I listen on the repeaters. I know what's going on. Oh, yeah, Q signals on FM. Yes, QRZ and QRM. Just say the words. The purpose of the Q signals, again, are for CW, where you don't have to spell every word out. So now let's sashay over to public service events. This becomes a little bit more important. So the first part we're going to talk about is actually operating. How many have done public service events? All right, so a lot of you guys have done this. So I do a lot of the marathons. I organize communications for the Vermont City Marathon in Vermont. I'm pretty active with the Boston Marathon and the New York City Marathon. So I've done a lot of these things. I've done a fair share of bike-a-thons, walk-a-thons, and shopping cart-a-thons, or whatever people do. They need someone to talk on a radio. I'm there to talk. And these things always boil down to the same thing. Your number one job is to communicate. You are there to pass information. You're not there to direct traffic, as a lot of hams like to do. If you want to direct traffic and become a cop, don't sit and talk on the radio. The number one ability in this communication is to listen, because ultimately there's information going back and forth. You have to hear the information. You have to then talk to other people, get information from them. You have to pass it back. You are an information. You're kind of like a digital server almost. And to do that, you must gather and organize information quickly. So you ask a question of some non-ham and they're going to give you a whole bunch of stuff and whatever, and you got to take all that information and you boil it down to two or three words. That's really the ideal part of this, is getting a whole bunch of complex things, and this is what we need. That's what I want to hear on that. I don't want to hear the whole story. Tell me the whole story afterwards when we meet for drinks. Again, here's that think before speaking deal again. And you'd be surprised. People get into it and they just get into the moment and they just start rambling on and they've long timed out the repeater and the net's kind of waiting with bated breath and they realize, oh wait, I don't need to say all this stuff. Why didn't I think first? Real important. And it's something you got to train yourself to do, to stop, think, what do I want to say first? Okay, I'm going to say that and then do it. Transmissions must be short. So if you're giving a whole diatribe about the fact that we're missing keys for the porta potties and then somebody falls down face first on the courts and we need an ambulance, you're holding up the net with something that's really not all that important, and we have to wait for the guy with the bloody face to get traffic. So that's why we have to keep things short and to the point. You always have to follow the directions of the supervisor. So if the supervisor is a jerk and idiot, doesn't know what the hell he or she is doing, all that stuff, and I don't like that, that's fine, but you follow their directions. You don't have to come back next year, or you can again duke it out in the bar or ham fest or meet them out here in the flea market and have a heated discussion there, but you don't do it on the radio. I've heard it's not pretty, because now we look like a bunch of bozos to non-hams. You let them know everything they need to know to make a decision. You know, we have this, we can't do this. Is this what you want to do? Yes. Are you sure? Yes, you do it. If the thing blows up, it's their fault. You did what they asked you to do, but there has to be a command structure, otherwise you get total chaos. Use a tactical call sign wherever possible. So a tactical call sign is a very short descriptor of what your job is. So in a marathon, they're pretty easy. They're usually the mileposts, net control, the sweep vehicle, the trail vehicle, the police liaison, whatever. And so when you give that call sign, everyone knows what your job is. Instead of getting a whole mishmash of call signs that don't mean anything, you get these very descriptive terms. The problem with that is that that does not meet the requirements of Part 97. Nowhere in Part 97 it says, oh, you don't have to identify during a marathon. Unless it's an emergency. Unless there's people dying in the streets, you have to identify every 10 minutes. Different nets do it differently. I like to just every 10 minutes, okay, this is the so-and-so net, and I tell everyone I'm going to leave a pause, and you are free to identify. You can double if you want, not want, I don't care. You give your call sign, you're covered, I'm covered, and we lived happily ever after. Some nets, they don't identify at all. I've been on some nets, I didn't hear a call sign all day long. So I hope the FCC is not listening there. They're going to be writing up little pink slips all over the place, QSL cards. So you still need to give the proper ID in addition to the tactical call sign. Another important thing with public service events is the equipment. A dead radio is useless. You know what we call that? It's called a doorstop. You want to make sure that does not happen. That is the worst thing that you become instantly. You go from a ham to a civilian when that happens. You can't do it. Go home. I'm all done. I had a guy in the New York City Marathon. His battery died 1 hour into the event. Hold on, I'm hopping on the subway. I'm going to go home and get my spare battery. But why he didn't have the spare battery with him, we haven't ascertained this yet. And of course, we said, well, thank you for helping us out. We'll see you next year. We don't need to wait for you to get on the subway. But it could be more than the battery. I mean, batteries have a nasty habit of dying. Fortunately, the newer lithium-ion batteries don't have memory effect like the old NiCads did, so this happens less and less. But suffice to say, if you have an HT, it's been sitting on the shelf for a year and a half, and you charge it up, I'd be very suspicious that battery's going to hold the charge, no matter what kind of chemistry it is. That's the really bad thing to do to a battery, just let it sit. So I tell my operators, this is charge it up, let the battery run down a whole day, charge it back up again, make sure that battery will last all day long, and have a backup anyway, because it's electronic, it breaks down. In fact, routinely, I carry a second HT with me. I found a bargain on a nice HT in the flea market, got it for a song. I carry that with me now. So I actually have another radio that's hot and ready to go should my main one fail. I mean, I've had connectors fall off of radios, buttons not work. Stuff happens. And again, if we want to be the emergency communicators, we better be ready, willing, and able to make it happen no matter what happens.
You're listening to a Good Operating Techniques refresher from the 2011 Dayton Hamvention, voiced by Mitch Stern, W1SJ, a veteran contester and avid public service participant from Vermont. We'll resume Mitch's talk in a moment. This is The Rain Report, available on Twitter via hashtag TheRainReport and 24/7 on TheRainReport.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
How many of you know how to operate their radios? I was a little late getting here because one of the guys with my group, I have a repeater in my car. I can't figure out how to get into your repeater, the tone. And I says, you know, I don't know how to program your radio. I mean, I could figure it out, but I really kind of have to rush off here. And he's trying to put the tone in, and he's not sure if it's the tone or the CTCSS or the offset and all this other stuff. A lot of people cannot do this. And to be honest with you, manufacturers are no help here in this regard. Any manufacturers out there, I tell them this all the time. Their radios are very hard to program. And the mistake ham operators get into is, I have everything in memory, I'm all set. Well, what if? What if the repeaters we decided to use all crapped out at the same time? Now what are you going to do? Now we have to go to a different repeater, simplex. Can you do that? No, I left the instruction book at home. And, oh, you got the instruction book? Yeah, but I didn't bring my special reading glasses to read the fine print. That's not going to work. So, I mean, you have to know, I tell everyone in my group, you have to know how to change frequency, put an offset in, put a tone in. You got to do at least those three things so that you can use a repeater. That's really important because the ones we may be using now may be gone in 20 minutes for whatever reason. So, again, when we're doing a public service event or emergency, we're not trying to do QRP or try to save our battery. You use the highest power setting possible. The idea is for reliability. When you make a report that someone needs an ambulance, we want the transmission to be said once, not twice. Like, well, yeah, I got part of that. I didn't get the number. I didn't get the location. Can I have a fill? That's no good. It's got to be boom, boom. Keep the HT off the belt. In all the literature about how to use HTs, and I'm talking about, you know, like the technician manuals, nowhere does it say how to hold an HT. They say, hold it away from your face so you don't nuke your eyes. Well, it's not going to pick you up. Oh, like that? Well, it's got to be vertical. And so I kind of write my own rules. You hold it vertical as close to it as you can, but above your head, talk up into it. The antenna now is above your eyes, and it's above the top of your head. It's going to have the clearest shot to get anywhere. If it's on your belt, all the RF is going to go into your kidneys. Okay, at 2 meters, you absorb all that energy. Not only is it not great for you, your signal gets absorbed and it's not going to get radiated and we're not going to hear you. And so in these events, the first thing I do is we set up repeaters and I test the course with an HT on low power. And I know how everyone should sound into it. And then someone's really noisy and swishing around and says, where's your HT? Well, it's on the belt and I got the speaker. I says, get it off the belt. You mean I got to hold it? I says, yeah, you do. If you don't want to do that, then you can get one of the funny hats with the antenna sticking out of the top of it. I made up such an antenna years ago. I was operating an event in New York, and New York is very tough because you got canyons with buildings there, and you can't go across streets because buildings are in the way. And so I put a quarter wave whip on top of a construction helmet and stuck a wire mesh inside for the ground plane. Thing worked tremendous. I mean, I had a great signal. Everyone heard me, and somebody snapped a picture of me. It looked like one of these like Prussian generals, you know, with the helmet with the little spot. That hat, to this day, for 30 years, it sits on the shelf in the basement. I won't put it on anymore. I says, you know, having a good signal is important, but looking like a geek, nah, I don't want to do that either. Check the coverage before the event. So I tell everyone, okay, this is your assignment. This is where you're going to be. And by all means, get your butt down there and check it out. Make sure you can actually get into the repeater, know where the dead spots are, and mark it with chalk on the sidewalk so don't stand here when you're talking. I don't mark it with chalk, but I make a mental note of, you know, well, over there, it doesn't work so good. Be over here. That's kind of important stuff, really. Do not use Vox. So I tell people at my events, if you use Vox, I will physically remove you from the event. What happens is the Vox usually locks up, or a locking microphone too. Now, I carry a DF antenna with me, and I am a very good fox hunter, and I love a challenge. And I will turn over to the alternate net control and get the fox antenna out, and I'll catch the guy. Usually, they're only a few hundred feet away, and tap him on the shoulder. And then it's a matter of whether I want to do physical harm to him or not, after telling him, do not use this, because it locks the whole net up, and basically everyone's waiting for this person's mic to drop or battery to die. Always use headphones. If you're in an event, I mean, you could just put the radio up to your ear. I mean, that's one way of doing it. But then I had a ham saying, oh, there's a band playing nearby. I can't hear the radio. Can you ask them to stop? Well, no. The band's not going to stop for you to play radio. You better get the right set of headphones so that you can work around the band. We're here to help, not here to be a hindrance.
The thoughts of Mitch Stern, W1SJ, a veteran DXer and experienced public service participant from Vermont. Excerpted from his 2011 Dayton Hemvention talk. We'll delve further into good public service operating techniques next week. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2015 Rain. All rights are reserved. Now for Rain's founder-producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, resisting the urge to say the best of 73 in deference to Mitch, so I'll simply bid you very 73 from all of us connected to Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. Just a tweet away at hashtag The Rain Report, and a click away on the World Wide Web at www.therainreport.com.